Hey team, welcome to episode 103 of Transition Talk, where we talk about dental transitions and how to navigate the sometimes messy path to practice ownership. As transition advisors, our main priority is to ensure practice buyers and sellers can achieve their personal and professional goals. Along with that, we want to make sure we can provide guidance and be the most value to you. Just as timing can play a role in buying or selling a practice, timing can also be an important factor in when bringing on a dental transition advisor like our team. In this episode, we're going to ask the question, when would be a good time to hire NDP and when would not? So when would you benefit the most from hiring us and when you wouldn't? So tune in for those answers. But before we get going, hello, Mr. Loretto.
Miss Ratcliffe, how are we doing?
You know, we're doing pretty good.
Yes.
I am a little under the weather, so I apologize for my raspiness.
Yes. Your cough, you know, you're disturbing my calls next to you, okay?
I'm disturbing myself.
Well, I hope you get to feeling better.
I told Joellen that I'm sorry, and to Noah, sorry for all of the editing that's going to have to happen with these coughs, so yes. I apologize in advance.
Yes, in advance. Well, give me something new on the Ratcliffe household. I know that in the recent months, year, you guys have a lake house that you guys put together. We're in the spring now. Kids are getting ready for maybe summer, but anything interesting on the Ratcliffe home front?
Yeah, you know, like normally when things are going too well and too smooth, that we like to throw in a little bit of a mix
must.
Of
it's
something difficult and complicate our world. So we're going to get a puppy. So as we're recording this, we do not have said puppy, but by the time it is released, we will have
You've puppy. Ordered this puppy. You've
we
gone online. You picked out this one. This about a week's.
Yep.
This hair, no hair. Uh-huh. You know, this is a smart dog.
I hope it's a smart dog. Yeah.
Yes, yes.
Yeah, and so I don't know. I'm nervous and excited. It's a surprise for the girls. They don't know.
They suckered you into this.
Chris actually was the driver of this, which is very shocking.
If he is the driver, then you have to put it back. Back on him. When that dog is sick, you're the one that pushed for this dog.
I know.
You're the one that pushed for this second child. That's your child, not my child.
We had lots of conversations about, okay, so if we had the dog now, what would we be doing? Or like the lake situation when we go to the lake, like what happens with the dog and like, what are we going to do? And so Lila is going to be thrilled. Bryn is not going to be thrilled. It's going to really like annoy her that her world's going to be turned upside down. Her like,
she's
Lego
not the
table.
Favorite, you know?
Yeah. And she's like, if the dog is like too loud or like jumps, like she just likes everything to be nice and orderly. So we shall see. His name is Sully.
Prayers.
And so the next time we record or the next time after, April, I'll give you all an update. And hopefully this episode, like, are you a good fit for NDP? Hopefully Sully is a good fit for the Ratcliffes. That's what we're hoping for.
So
this is our
something,
dog.
Something funny as we were kind of putting together, are you a fit for NDP? I kind of feel like the PPO practice that is going to go to fee for service.
Yeah.
You know, when we first started, are you a fit for NDP? The question is, could you pay us? The answer is absolutely. We will 100%. You are a fit for us, right?
We'll take you.
We will take anybody. And I don't care how difficult you were, but we are a fit because you could write us a check.
Yep.
And I kind of feel like this episode is basically saying we're fee for service. And there's a reason what we do and what we're good at. And we kind of like to be particular about the clients that we take on. I think that's what this is about.
I think it is. And I think that's actually kind of fair, right?
It is.
I mean, like
we've
realized what we're good at and we've realized where we can have success and where we can't. And some of those things have been things we think we knew in the gut, like when we first started working with someone and then when we didn't. And again, this is not a negative to anyone we've worked with historically. I think it's just like you realize what you're good at and where the path to success is. And that's what we're here for, is to like get people to ownership and help them through a transition. I mean, it doesn't always have to be our way, but we have to kind of work together harmoniously with
certain
both
patients
parties.
Or certain fees or certain, you know, procedures, anything of how you want to run your dental practice.
Yep.
And at some point you just basically figure out, this is what I'm going to focus on and I can afford, you know, to do that. So I think that's kind of cool.
Yeah.
You know, that we've
lots
been there. We're
of
not
fish in the sea,
but we still want to educate everybody and guide them through, but it's definitely not for everybody. So I'm excited about this episode. I'll give you a quick update on one of the kids. I won't give you an update on all four, but I had a lunch with Cole, the big 6'7" giant, and he has definitely decided to pursue his doctorate in psychology. I'm like, well, why not just the master's? It's like, well, Dad, the doctorate, you're so much more respected.
Oh.
They can tell others what to do, and it's like your answer is like the final answer.
Oh, I like it. I mean, that's what we all want to be.
Yeah, and maybe that's why he's looking at his dad and not really paying attention, because I don't have my doctorate. You know, I'm giving orders to these kids and no one's listening. But maybe if I had my doctorate, then I would be important. I don't know. I just thought it's so just interesting how he comes up with this on his own, that he's going to be this
Again,
get this doctorate.
Would we have ever thought that Cole would be the one out of your kids?
No.
Good for them.
Yeah, the person who doesn't talk is now going to be in the counseling profession, but does a good job counseling others, just doesn't counsel his parents or, you know.
I'm a CPA that doesn't file my own return, so there you go. You know?
Amen. Well, let's get into this thing. I'm kind of excited to see where this goes today.
Yeah, me too. So, I mean, I think we started, and I think as we do with every episode, we try to say, okay, like, you know, how do we structure this and make sure it's a, you know, we start ad-libbing once we start going, but, you know, there's a teeny bit of planning that goes into before we talk. But I think when I thought about this one, you know, I think my natural tendency was to be like, again, I'm rarely negative, but was like, when should you not hire NDP?
Right.
But for every not, there's a counter to that, which is like, when does it actually make sense? And kind of how do we fix that? You know, if there's a way, how do we turn the not into like, this is the right way to do it? And I think I kind of lean towards starting with the buyers. We often get questions where someone will call us and say, well, when's the right time to hire you?
Right.
And our answer is always, well, when you have something to buy. You know, that's a very easy kind of first answer. And when we say when you have something to buy, the timing of when you hire us, once you find something to buy, really matters.
It does.
Right? Because the timing of these things is very important, oftentimes from a seller's perspective, from a lending perspective, to like the order of events. It's a well-orchestrated machine if you do it the right way. And if you insert someone into the process too late or not at the right time, it just kind of can cause some road bumps that make it harder for you and for the seller and the seller's team. And then that makes it a rocky transition. So my initial gut is, when does it not make sense to hire NDP? Is if you are too far down the road. What does that mean?
Yeah, so you're coming to us, you know, it's like, hey, I'm trying to close in 30 days. I've already signed a letter of intent. We're already done due diligence. Here's this $1 billion practice. It's $800,000. I'm approved from lending. And you're just like coming to us. And sometimes I just think they just want a second opinion, which is fine. I still want to help and give that person my opinion. And we're very honest and direct with them. Like, I don't think you need us.
Yeah.
And sometimes they're like, well, I mean, I've done some of it. And sometimes they even address it themselves. Like, well, I don't really see what I'm going to get, you know? And if it's a 30-day closing window, I don't think we are the fit. You're paying us for the due diligence. You're paying us to look at tax returns, profit loss statements, general ledger. You're paying us to run different scenarios. You're paying us to, you know, look at all of the what-if scenarios and just verify what you're purchasing. Mm-hmm. I mean, I personally think there's value when you go borrow $1 million to have someone look over and review everything and not just trust the broker / person who represented the seller with some of these documents, or trust that your limited business tax knowledge, you're just going to look over this yourself and just like kind of wing it. So I do think there's always value having that advisor. But if you're definitely coming to us in the last minute and we're not a fit, I still want to talk to you. I still would like to bless the deal. You know, even if we're not the fit, I'd like to talk about just post-closing type decisions. I think you'll need to start thinking about if that's Kane Waters or some other group. I just want to, at minimum, those situations, just say, hey, I love it. I love to hear it in their voice. I knew you would say that. I was hoping you would say that.
Or ask the questions and they have answers to every one of them because they've thought about all those pieces.
Yeah. 100%. So, I mean, sometimes coming too late, that's, I say the primary one. Sometimes it's a so far out is another one. Like, it's going to be 2 years before you even do this. I'm happy to look at, but again, you're not going to be hiring NDP.
Yeah. I think it depends on, from a letter of intent standpoint, sometimes someone will say, well, I've signed a letter of intent. And I think our first question is like, let us see it, like send it to us, right? Because sometimes that letter of intent is very detailed and we've already agreed on price and work back and allocation, all the things we think should be in a letter of intent. And then sometimes it's just the broker's template that says, I commit to buying this practice, and maybe there's a price, but there's no holds, there's nothing that kind of commits you to it. And it really is, they just want that signature so they can then give you the information you need to do diligence, right? At that point, if you say, hey, I'm not sure about this price, I signed this, but I haven't seen anything, then most of the time we actually would be a fit there, right?
Absolutely.
So signing the letter of intent doesn't necessarily mean that we're not a fit, but we have to be able to see it to know, and you have to know how much work went into signing that letter of intent. If you've been talking to the seller for 5 months and you're signing this letter of intent, that's probably an indication that like inserting us might make the process challenging.
Right.
But if it's, you know, AFCO gave you this LOI, great. Okay, well, let us take a look.
Keep in mind, like for us, we really need kind of an 8, 9, 10 week kind of guidance through this. It may only take 4 weeks to maybe review and get you some answers on some of these things, but we try to bulk all of our questions together so that we're asking the people who are representing the seller these types of questions all at once and not just bombard them daily with question, but here's 10 questions that we need some answers on. It just makes the process nice and smooth. So we want the window, I think is what we're saying. A nice window, solid 8 weeks. Just don't come to us with the expectation to try to close in the next 30 days. So it's just not enough time frame.
Yeah. And I think too, from a transition fatigue, you guys have heard us talk about that. And I think what we experience often, if you have been in conversation with the seller and the seller's team without us for a period of time, and then you hire us, part of our job is to diligence it, ask questions, and gather the information. Even if you've, let's say you've agreed on a price before you come to us, that's fine. A lot of people want education, even though they've agreed on a price and they think in their gut they're okay with the price. They want education about what they're buying, right? So then we're asking a lot of questions. Well, then the seller's team is like, hey, you've been talking to us for 5 months and now someone's coming and they're asking a bunch of questions. Are you going to change the price? Why are they asking these questions? I thought you had everything you needed. And it can cause like a bit of frustration and then makes you, in our experience, right? Now the buyer is pressing our team and saying like, why are you asking all these questions? Can we hurry? You know, even though that you were the person who told us that you wanted us to do our normal diligence process, you wanted us to ask all these questions because we came too late, right? Had we started at the very beginning of the process with you, your questions would have been our questions and we would have all done it at one time and we wouldn't have had this like pressure and this seller kind of frustration, which then causes you to be stressed because now you're worried you're going to lose it. It snowballs.
There's a lot of coaching and questions that we are educating both buyers and sellers, in this case for the buyers, how to have those conversations with all the parties. If it's the attorney, if it's the broker or the client themselves that they're going to be purchasing the practice from, just to lead them, because there's many times they're being led. Mm-hmm. And so they're going down roads where they don't know how to navigate them. And so we're typically preparing them to lead conversations versus be led.
Yeah. So remember, we give a lot of resources out. We give a lot of education. I'm happy to have coaching calls with you. I don't want you to engage me before you're ready. So don't think that you're going to try to get some stuff done on your own and save some money or delay that and it's going to be helpful. Like I would highly suggest, like I will not, I mean, I've had multiple calls where I've said, I'd love to help you, but like you don't need me yet. Or I need you to go back and ask the seller these 5 questions before you're ready to engage us. Call us earlier rather than later. We have a list of documents we would want to see before we have that phone call. Like Brandy, anyone on our team, like we will get you what you need to have and be prepared for that phone call. We will have that phone call. And the earlier we can get on the phone with you, the better. And the more likely we are going to be a fit for you in this process.
We just believe in the flat fee.
Flat fee.
Flat fee. Flat fee process versus this hourly billing that can just sometimes just create fees that are just crazy. That's how many attorneys and many accountants work. So we try to really want to know the project of what we're getting ourselves into, quote that appropriate flat fee, and then move forward. Yeah. And we know we're going to lose a lot on the front end on some of the coaching calls that we don't charge for, but we enjoy it. It's fine. We'd rather kind of build that relationship and trust so when you do come across that perfect opportunity, now we can lead you through the entire process.
Yeah, 100%. And I mean, I hate to say this one, but I have to like bring it up. Okay. My husband has an MBA and I think it's great. And I'm a CPA and I counsel him sometimes on CPA things and he counsels me sometimes on other things. But there's no red flags in this world, I've said, so we're just going to call it a yellow flag. When a buyer says, well, my husband's an MBA.
Oh, man.
Or my husband's an attorney. Or my husband's in mergers and acquisitions.
Right.
Okay.
My 48 pulse is climbing because I'm just rolling my eyes as I'm listening and yes, yes. You know, I always ask this too, when that person is, they're discussing, I mean, if this person's a merger and acquisitions, and they've done merger and acquisitions for dentistry for X number of years, perfect. But you can't just have this generic, they're an attorney. Well, if they're an attorney, have they worked in contracts? Have they worked in specifically these types of deals we're talking about? If the answer is no, then it's a good person to maybe have just as a second sets of eyes. But ultimately, it's going to be really hard for you as a spouse of who you're picking to listen to.
Yeah.
If your spouse is a dominant figure that is literally just like, this is what I know, and just kind of almost them leading the process, then I'd ask the hard question, the $1 million question or the 10 plus dollar, why'd you hire us?
Yes, 100%.
you know? But if that attorney, accountant, whoever it is, that says, look, we know you are, we are hiring you for your expertise. We know you do this 100 plus times a year, thousands of times in your career. We are valuing you and then ask very good questions. We are humble enough and educated, but there is definitely a reason for the people that we've kind of surrounded ourselves with. And the reason that we would say that we're a little bit of an authority on it is because it's all we do.
Yeah. And I think it's a difference between getting on the phone with someone whose spouse is blah, like plug it, right? And that person saying, so in my world, it means this. What does it mean here?
Right.
Right. Like, I'm like, okay, great. Fine. You know, because I think we all should bring our skill set to help someone. We clearly, if it's a spouse, you clearly love that person. You want to support them. This decision's impacting your family. Like, we are all for spouses being involved in the process, but it's important to understand why you hired us.
Right.
And we are not the enemy. And sometimes in those situations, we're almost combative
right.
with our own client, right? And there's enough of that in this process, right, that we try to avoid to not be combative with our own client and making the buyer feel as though, like you said, they're having to choose or they're having to like mitigate that. Like, I would prefer not to do that. Like, your relationship matters a ton and you guys seem like you got this. And so you guys go take care of it.
You know, the thing I would just add to that, because I guarantee some listeners like, oh yeah, that's my spouse, is it's not just that they have a little bit of that experience, but it's their personality. It's really the driver. When we think about, yeah. I mean, this is probably, it's got
There's
to the point,
lot.
It's probably one. And if we did, you know, 100 deals, this is a lot. This is probably like 5 or 6 deals a year that we're mm-hmm. dealing with. And it's, if you get that strong personality with compounded, that they have a little bit of knowledge on that and they're going to be that leader and kind of super dominant person, yeah, it's a yellow for us.
Mm-hmm.
And it's, you know, what role do you want us to play in this? And I think that we can have those kind of strong conversations going forward with that client just to set expectations. Again, I can't imagine, Christy, that we would have had some type of conversation like this, you know, years ago when you first started.
No.
It would take anybody.
No, or we just said, oh, the spouse is an MBA. And we both kind of knew what that meant because,
yeah.
like, it was just in our history, we had had so many of them that,
yeah.
like, we didn't want to, like, create that negative connotation in our head, but that's just kind of what it was, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
And again, I rarely lead the conversation with, well, my name's Christy and I'm a CPA.
Yeah.
You know, we'll figure that out along the way.
Yeah.
So, although maybe my husband does, maybe he's like, this is my wife. She's a CPA. It's good when spouses are proud of each other. Right?
Yeah, I know. He is very proud of you. I would not want to mess with
to a fault.
Probably to a fault.
Okay, so that's buyers. I feel like those are the main things that I think from if a buyer, like, are you ready to hire us? Are we a good fit for you? You know, I think generally understanding kind of that we're all good at what we do in our own little areas and we all have something to add. From a seller's perspective, you know, I think when we both think about sellers, I think we both think there's probably not a situation where someone wouldn't be a good fit for us. So let's talk about first, like, when is someone a good fit for NDP as far as from a seller's perspective?
Well, you're selling something that is your baby. I mean, it could be bringing an associate. It could be, you know, selling a portion of the practice to them. So, I mean, having your financial house in order is like step one. Mentally ready. I mean, oh my goodness, you have to be in a position to where you are mentally able to lead the next person coming in, being able to kind of pull some time back typically and allowing that person to grow is super important. Your practice has to be ready, especially if it's going to be some type of partnership or a merger or something like that. From a space standpoint, clean financial statements, new patient flow, equipment things. There's a lot of, in my opinion, a lot of things for that seller to have in place to be ready. And then once they are ready, then ideally they've done their due diligence. They've looked at different transition firms. We've made the cut and they're trusting in our advice and trusting for us to be able to kind of lead them in a way to show them the economic benefit is one. Two is time. We're trying to hopefully have that senior doctor be able to pull back some of their work schedule. I'm doing a lecture right now that I'm working on for the Hinman meeting and it's on a 3-day work week. And this subject of kind of are you ready is going to be a big part of that conversation and lecture, or as the younger people say, I'm building a slide deck to to be able to make sure that that communicates to both my established doctors and the young doctors who are in that.
A PPT
yeah,
file.
I was just told that PowerPoints are outdated and I'm old, which I am, you know, so it's okay.
The other day, I told someone, I was describing a lady, and I was like, you know, she's kind of old. She's like 40s, 50s. And I was like, I am 40. I just described myself.
What do you think about, you know, we both lead these calls for our sellers. What else would you add to that?
Yeah, I'm going to go the opposite side. I'm going to go when you're not ready, okay. Right? So I think that the process of selling your practice and the diligence that a buyer is going to need requires you to gather a lot of information, right? And sometimes being able to run the reports, getting into your practice management system, you know, having your financials kind of cleaned up if you don't have a regular group that's doing that, those are things that you have to be capable of doing on your own, especially in most cases, these transitions are very confidential. Your staff doesn't know, your right hand, you know, Sally who sits at the front desk can't pull these reports for you. You have to be able to do it. So a transition cannot get done if you cannot provide us the information to clean up the financials, to value it, to give the buyer's lender the reports they need. We will hit roadblocks and that will be challenging for you to do if you're not prepared to be able to give us that information. Right. And we can help you and we can try to guide you and give you instructions, but like you have to be able to access your information to be able to do this process.
Yeah. I mean, I can't stress the mental part, just mentally being ready. I mean, especially if we're talking about bringing an associate or partner, but if you're going to list your practice and sell, I mean, you have to be mentally ready that this is it.
Yep.
We're having a conversation with somebody and then all of a sudden it's like, yeah, I'm ready. And then the actual, let's get the listing agreement back and let's start looking for an associate to buy the practice. And they just freeze. Mm-hmm. Well, I think I'm going to wait a couple of years. And it's either mentally or financially.
Yeah.
Okay. Senior doctors, you know, I had one yesterday. He was telling me, well, I just don't know if my wife is ready for me to be home every day. Like, this is a sign.
Yeah.
Like, you probably need to figure this out. You get some hobbies and do some other things because, you know, you don't just say things like that. Yeah. If you're serious when you say, I don't think that my wife is ready for me 7 days a week, then you're probably not ready. Maybe say it differently. She's not ready. Okay.
Yeah.
She may have to go get a job, you know, something. So just, I think mentally, financially, you know, are key, but obviously all these things we talked about, having your practice ready and then, you know, selfishly having a team that you can trust to help with the execution of this and kind of walk you through the process. Cause this is not something natural that if you've only done it once, then I typically recommend, you know, getting some help. If you've done it 3 or 4 times or you bought and sold practices, then we're probably not on a call with you because you probably felt comfortable doing a lot of this on your own.
Yeah. And that's a very good point. We are not a fit for you if you're a seller. If you have, and you know I'm a proponent for education, but if you have read every book and you have read every podcast that is not ours and ours, and you have a definitive way that you want to do this transition and you are not open to any other opinions or questions, and you say, this is exactly how I want to do it, and I know the best way, we might not be a fit for you, right? Again, that's okay. It goes back to the same thing you ask buyers, like, why are you hiring us, right? I'm assuming that you're hiring us because you want a fair, reasonable transition. You've never done this. You want things to be pretty industry standard. That doesn't mean that you can't have opinions about what you need from a value standpoint or how you want the work back to work or how you want the partnership to work. I want you to have opinions about that. But if your way is the only way, that is challenging for us to do unless you have a buyer already and you and the buyer 100% agree on how you want things to go, we are happy to facilitate that for you. But remember, our job and kind of what we tout here on the podcast and I think as a company is that we're going to do things in a fair and reasonable way that I can support to a buyer and I can support to a seller. And if I can't, right, like I'm not going to go tell a buyer that it's reasonable to buy 1% a year for the next 20 years.
How about the, I'm going to sell 49% of the company, I'll be 51% because there's only one person that could be in charge. You know, so that's super common. And then so the buyer and seller both agree to that. Then, you know, now we're ready to go into some deep discussions with how it's going to work and the partnership agreement. And the buyers all of a sudden starting to ask questions like, well, I noticed that I'm 49% and, you know, what do you think about that? I mean, what am I supposed to say to that? Well, you've already agreed that you're going to buy into this practice and that you don't care about the control. Then what am I supposed to say? Hey, walk away. I mean, do you have another option? So that becomes a little bit difficult. I have gotten in the middle of that a couple of times and basically said, look, one compromise could be is let's have this 51-49 thing, but maybe it's just a period of time.
Oh, yeah.
Maybe it's a 3 years, senior doctor, you get to be 51, all decisions or whatever, ultimately you, but at some point, let me be your equal.
Yeah.
Right. So that could be a compromise that we've been able to do just to kind of help a little hurdle because they've agreed upon everything else.
Well, yeah. And I think that's the piece, right? If someone comes to me and they say they want 51-49, my first question is why? And either it's, well, that's just what I thought I had to do because that's what someone told me. Or it's, well, I just feel like I need control because I don't feel like they know how to run a business. And
right.
I feel like they're going to mess everything up. Fine.
That's 99% right there.
Fine. My approach has always been, okay, let me talk to you about how we see partnerships and how we think this would work. And if you don't think they're ready to be your partner, maybe it's time that we need to kind of sit on this and like let them develop, or maybe you need to help them develop so that you can feel comfortable there. But what I will do is I will always say, if a buyer asks me that question, my answer is going to be no. That is not normal, but this is how client wants to structure it originally, and this is his concern, and so this is kind of why we're going to do this, or his or her concern. This is why, how we're going to structure it, and then hopefully have had those conversations with seller to say, hey, is maybe it's a two-year window or a three-year window, or maybe it's only these decisions that you're really nervous about, so we can kind of, I'm still telling them, what I will not do, and I think everyone on the team feels very strongly about this, what I will not do is tell a buyer something is reasonable and standard if it is not, because right. that is what the seller wants me to say to convince them of something. Like, that's just not
it's,
how
it's our
work.
Reputation. It's what we yeah. built. It's why we're one of the few companies that are able to help both buyer and seller through a transition, and is because every part of our belief system, every part of our content, every lecture that we've given, every slide deck that we have that we have delivered, it's been about both. And I have to be able to see and address it for that buyer that, for the most part, if the seller's maybe taking advantage or seller's kind of leading, saying this is what we're going to do, and they just accept it, I got to step in and be able to look them in the eye and say, well, either A, that's what you agreed, this is what I would do to, you know, maybe move a different direction. Maybe you can say or adjust this in the deal. But I always say, too, is what else you got? And if the answer is nothing, then we're still moving forward. If you've got something else, then let's take a look at it. And that's the risk of the seller, doctor, is if you put some of these hard line, my way, highway, then your risk is obviously that they do walk.
Yeah. And I definitely don't want it to come across that it's our way or the highway. Like, you know, I can think of an engagement. It was dual rep and the seller wanted a stock sale. It was a C Corp situation. So they wanted a stock sale. And we were very, very hesitant because, I mean, if you've listened to any podcast, you know that's not the way we do transitions. We do asset sales. And we basically went to the buyer and said, hey, this is what they're proposing. This is why. This is not normal. This is the impact on you. And that buyer said, I 100% understand. This is a great opportunity, and I am willing to take that for the short term, and I really love this practice.
Absolutely.
And they both went into that eyes wide open, and we did a stock sale.
Yep.
But, you know, it was fine. Again, educating both sides on what you're doing, and if both parties are willing to listen to that, you're an NDP client.
Yep.
But if one of those people are stuck in their ways and don't want to hear anything or want to be not transparent about what's happening, that's when we're not a fit.
And some ortho clients where they're like, hey, he's going to be an associate, she's going to be an associate for X amount of time. We're only going to do a 25% buy-in because of the following reasons, or 20%. And then maybe it stops. There's no other opportunity after that. But when you run the cash flow of this multi-million dollar practice with this unbelievable 45% overhead, and here's how you're going to split the money. Okay. So you're going to go to this office and you're going to, it's your hometown, you're married, kids, et cetera. And you're going to get paid this compensation plus this 20% of the profit. You're now net with $600,000-$800,000. You're working 4 days a week. And between you and your spouse, this is perfect. There's no other better deal ever in the city. If you looked around, you love this guy or gal, we're doing it.
Yeah.
Okay. It may not have been my ideal situation, but it's the only thing that was offered to you. So absolutely, we would help in both angles, either A, represent that buyer, or B, even do dual consulting with both, because it made sense for both of them.
I agree. I think I thought this episode was going to be me venting a lot, and I feel very good about the balanced approach you've taken in this episode.
That was me, Christy. I was your balance here.
All right, team. That's all we have for today. I did not cough. This is a golden episode, but that's all we've got. Thanks for joining us on episode 103 of Transition Talk. And as always, make sure to share the transition love with those who may not know of us yet. And of course, subscribe wherever you listen to your podcast.
All right, we'll see you guys.
Until next time.